Welcome to Federal Insights for June, sponsored by Iron Bow Technologies in partnership with Dell Technologies on Federal News Network.
The Treasury Department has no end of financial and monetary challenges. Like many organizations, its Bureau of the Fiscal Service explores ways to give its people more time to work on problems by using artificial intelligence and machine learning to handle repetitive tasks. For details, I spoke with the Bureau's Acting Assistant Commissioner, Adam Goldberg.
So the Bureau of the Fiscal Service, I would say, is really kind of the operational arm of accounting in the federal government. So we issue the majority of the payments to taxpayers and businesses. We collect funds on behalf of federal agencies. We finance the government through our auctions and retail security program. And we issue things like the government-wide financial statements. So again, very practical, pragmatic things to let the government operate on a daily basis.
And you are partly, at least, in charge of the innovation in technology that goes on there. What kinds of technological processes does the Bureau have to enable all this? Because you're dealing with, it used to be billions, then it was hundreds of billions, now it's trillions.
Yeah, so I mean, we're a very automated organization. I mean, in order to get out the volume of things that we do, we rely very heavily on that automation. So if you think of a bank kind of passing, you know, paper cash back and forth, again, everything today is digital. So all of our capabilities need to align with that. So we're always looking for ways to be more efficient for the taxpayers.
All right. And getting to the topic of artificial intelligence, machine learning, robotic process automation, are these important or potentially important to the Bureau? And how do you kind of differentiate among those three different technologies that get lumped together sometimes?
Yeah, actually, they are very important because as we are asked to do more things in the government, these are the types of technologies that allow us to do this when we are limited to our existing, you know, human capital, or we have that downward pressure on human capital like other agencies do. So robotic process automation, as an example, allows us to automate what I would say are routine or repetitive activities that occur within the organization. So these are very structured automations that take place. For example, if you bring in a form and you need to take one field out and then have it entered into a piece of technology, it would do that. In the case of artificial intelligence, here you're really dealing with kind of what I would say unstructured things or activities that require decision-making occur in this. And so this might be something like you get an unstructured sheet of paper where there's information all over the place and it doesn't follow the same terminology. So it doesn't have like name or address. Maybe we use some different terms. So things like artificial intelligence will help us interpret that through different algorithms that we program.
All right. And what about some of the data required to do the training? You have kind of a unique set of circumstances dealing in the fiscal and cash and electronic currency realm, not Bitcoin,
yes,
but you know, U.S. tender stuff. But it's very different from training in the area, say, of personnel or some of the issues that are softer.
Yeah, you know, it can be in some circumstances. In other circumstances, it's very similar. So we do have a huge amount of data that we have access to. And so, you know, one example where we're using some of these technologies, artificial intelligence, or what they call machine learning, as an example, is in fraud detection. So we would be taking millions of records that are coming in and doing some evaluation that would flag which of these records might be susceptible to fraud. And so this can happen much quicker than a human going through all that data or a human doing some sampling, which oftentimes is a small population that you extrapolate to a universe. So these technologies really help us in areas where there's a large amount of volume to interpret.
Got it. And on one hand, you've got the idea of an automated process, RPA, where there is no human intervention needed. Sounds like AI helps people that have to eventually make a decision, but to make a better and more informed decision. By informed, meaning based on a much larger sample or a sample of everything, for example.
Yeah, you know, in AI, it can be both scenarios where I might be able to rely on the artificial intelligence algorithms, the programs, and have that act automatically, or it's that intersection sometimes that between the human and the machine, where the machine might be able to flag records for us that then the human would go and do some interpretation. And for some of the things, because of the precision it requires on our part, we don't always want to rely 100% on the computer for giving us the answer to the question. We want to be able to have the opportunity to review it before finalizing.
And I just want to make a distinction between old-fashioned, so to speak, automation, and I'll just make an analogy of Social Security, for example, that has to issue the same check to the same people week after week, but they've been doing this by computer for decades. And it's just a matter of adding the new people in and entering the amounts that they're entitled to and so on. How does RPA differ from just automation based on computerization, which, you know, goes back to the 50s?
Yeah, you know, one of the big things that we're seeing now is that the automations that we put in place, like an accounting system, have instances where you're performing a business process, but you have to take data out of the system and re-enter it or do some reconciliations. And so lots of these technologies can help be a bridge where that accounting system may not have the full automation from end to end. I can include or incorporate something like robotic process automation or artificial intelligence in that process to create the full automation from one point to the other.
Adam Goldberg, Acting Assistant Commissioner of the Treasury's Bureau of the Fiscal Service. We'll be back with more of the interview after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
Our new way of working with a cloud-first approach has unleashed the need for new technologies that can speed up processes, automate manual workflows, and share data across organizations. How can you empower your team with data, drive efficiencies, and increase performance? Ironbow Technologies, along with Dell, will help you discover how AI technologies support agency mission success. Discover more at learn.ironbow.com/AI. That's learn.ironbow.com/AI.
Welcome back to our interview with Adam Goldberg, Acting Assistant Commissioner of the Treasury's Bureau of the Fiscal Service. Our topic is freeing up human capital using artificial intelligence and machine learning. And talking about AI, give us an example of some of the projects you might be working on or the types of challenges that you feel could help the agency with the challenges that you do have.
Sure. As I mentioned earlier, one of the projects we have right now is fraud detection. So we're going through, like I said, millions of records to detect any patterns of fraud. And then we take those cases and then we would hand them over to an organization like the Inspector General and have them do further research on whether that is actually a fraudulent activity that was occurring.
Well, I just want to back up for a second, though, and ask what is the program that could be subject to fraud that the Bureau operates?
So programs are like collections that come in that we're getting. So sometimes people send collections in and there's patterns of fraud that may be occurring with them. Maybe someone's sending a fraudulent bank account and somehow that may have an impact to us down the road. And so that might be one example of where that's happening. Any of the payments that go out the door might actually be something susceptible to fraud. I think the one that people talk about most often is, you know, if someone is deceased, you know, there might be some valid cases where the person passed away, yet we missed the check run. And so that payment went out, but we would recover it. There's other instances where maybe someone passed away and someone keeps collecting on that Social Security benefit for that individual.
So in other words, it would be payments that you, the Bureau, would authorize for other federal agency programs.
Well, in fact, what's happening is the other agency programs are authorizing those, and they're just giving us the guidance to do that. But we work very closely together to make sure that we're coordinating in any of those efforts, because you might have payments going to an individual who's collecting benefits from several federal agencies. And usually we would be the ones that would know that more than others would.
All right. So for a program like this, a fraud detection program, how would you go about setting it up? You've got an algorithm that would do what, and how do you train it?
Sure. So what we would do is identify different factors that we would see as problematic. I don't want to go into too much detail about that because I don't want to tip anybody off. But we would look at those factors and then run the program. What we would then do is check as to whether or not what we are identifying as potential fraud might meet certain characteristics. So one thing that we've done in the past with other areas is sometimes we have the answer to the question already. And so because we did it in a different way, but I could run it through the program and see if the program comes up with the same answer or the same potential fraud that we did through our other means. And so that would be, you know, a common way that we would begin to test out how good the program's doing. And then as we find where something's successful, the machine learns over time how to do better as more cases come through the analysis.
Yeah, so for example, one of the oldest fraud detection items for a lot of federal agencies is the address given a real location? And very often in program after program over the decades, I've seen this issue where, well, it's an empty lot, or it's a torn down building, or it's a gas station, or people just put in some address that clearly is not entitled to benefits from that program. In this case, maybe to extend it to artificial intelligence, because that wouldn't be required in that case because it's a simple match. Database versus the address, and you know it's an empty lot, so there's no money that should go there. But for example, a given entity changing addresses frequently, that might be harder for just a simple comparison to check, but it might show up in an AI algorithm. I'm just making up that example, but that's the kind of thing?
Correct. Those are the types of things that we'd look for, and then we'd look for not just the pattern in one individual, but we could look and say, are there similar patterns happening in the broader population? And do we need to feed something into the algorithm to not only look at an individual, but look at the population as a whole?
Sure. And so without giving out the criteria by which you can detect fraud, but how do you go about training? I mean, who contributes the parameters that need to be fed into that? And then how do you select the data required to test those parameters? It sounds like a group effort is required to really deploy ML and AI.
That's accurate. So it would be the individuals that are most familiar with that type of financial activity, whether it be when we collect money or whether we pay out, to be able to set the parameters as to what the program would look at and how many factors we want to include. So you could include, you know, 50 factors, but they may not all provide benefit for you. Or if you narrowed it down to a smaller group, you may still get equally as good results. You know, the challenge sometimes with fraud is that you still have to go about and do an investigation. And so this helps in identifying those patterns so that maybe there's actions that we can take to prevent that in the future, as well as pursue any individual that might have committed that act of fraud.
Right, but at this point in time and in legal history, the output of an AI program itself is not sufficient to prosecute or to try to claw back funds. You still need to do the investigation. This makes the investigative staff that much more efficient, in other words.
Correct, because we're flagging records that we believe will lead to a greater success rate than we would through maybe human analysis techniques that we'd used in the past or an Excel file.
And beyond fraud detection, what other domains are you looking at for possible application of AI? Again, in a way that makes your people more productive for what they're doing with their brains.
Sure. One of the areas that we're working on right now is called matured unredeemed debt, or MUD. And these are savings bonds that have not been cashed by the bondholders. And so what we're trying to do is reunite the people and the bond together, because people may not know that they actually have the bond.
They got a bar mitzvah gift 30 years ago and forgot about it in a drawer somewhere.
That's what I actually recently, when I went to my parents' house, I went through one of the boxes just to see if there, I might have missed one myself. So in fact, I think there's about $25.2 billion worth of unredeemed bonds out there. And so what we have to do is, a lot of these records are on microfilm. And so we're looking to use artificial intelligence capabilities to read this microfilm, pull out the data that we need, like social security numbers, so that we can go and try and reunite the individuals. So we're dealing with, I think it's like 177,000 reels of microfilm that we need to go through. And again, this technology can do it much faster than a human would, going record by record.
So you might even combine machine vision into a AI program.
Yeah, so, you know, the great thing about this, as I was saying earlier, is oftentimes RPA and robotic process automation and artificial intelligence help kind of build a bridge in processes. And there are going to be instances where I may need to use those capabilities together in doing this analysis. So there might be some things where I could pull the data off the microfilm and it's very clear what that is. And there might be some other instances where maybe we do have to get some additional information to fill in the blank. Maybe there was an address from long ago that's no longer valid. So those are the things that we might be able to do when combining some of the techniques.
Adam Goldberg, Acting Assistant Commissioner of the Treasury's Bureau of the Fiscal Service. We'll return with the third and final segment of this interview after a short break. I'm Tom Temin.
Our new way of working with a cloud-first approach has unleashed the need for new technologies that can speed up processes, automate manual workflows, and share data across organizations. How can you empower your team with data, drive efficiencies, and increase performance? Ironbow Technologies, along with Dell, will help you discover how AI technologies support agency mission success. Discover more at learn.ironbow.com/AI. That's learn.ironbow.com/AI.
Welcome back to the third and final segment of our interview with Adam Goldberg, Acting Assistant Commissioner of the Treasury's Bureau of the Fiscal Service. We've been discussing how to repurpose manpower using artificial intelligence and machine learning. Putting on your IT hat for a moment, do AI and ML types of programs that enable this increase in productivity in some sense for what people are really trying to do in relation to the mission, how do you integrate those with the day-to-day programs that they interact just to do their jobs? I mean, do you sit at an AI console or do you sit at some other console and AI feeds you messages? How does it work in the day-to-day sense?
Right now, our experience is a little bit more in the RPA world, the robotic process automation world, and we've created an office for digital workforce. And so that digital workforce, that group is actually developing the bots to do these different activities that would then kind of kick off as a routine, like maybe any system might at a certain time in the evening. And so that's one of the things that is happening there. And I've actually seen instances in other organizations where they do have kind of like a big command center because they're running thousands and thousands of bots and they need to be monitoring when they break down along the way. RPA is an interesting technology because you don't necessarily, it's something that we're executing ourselves with commercial software, but it's not something that we felt that we needed to source out to the private sector. And even in artificial intelligence, we're trying to build up those capabilities internally because we can use things like open source software that's available publicly to do these types of things. And so some of the investment we need to make is much lower than a lot of the other applications that we have to acquire for our work.
The challenge then becomes making sure that all of the possible ideas that people have for robotic process automation to enable them to work smarter, or if they have an idea where we could solve this problem or have this trend analysis and so on, it could even affect the way the Bureau operates in the large sense. You've got to make sure those ideas get forwarded so that you can choose among what might have the most potential.
Absolutely. And you know, this really comes into the analysis itself. What I would suggest is, you know, just don't pick one thing and let's start putting a bot in here and artificial intelligence for the sake of doing it. Really look at a complete process. And when you're doing that, bring in all the stakeholders that would be involved. We've done one project where the machine-readable language was generated by a third party. We hadn't been using it, but when we wanted to use it, the third party didn't actually know all the pieces of information we needed to have in order to use that data set. And so until we bring all the people together, you may not know what all the different groups need from that data. And again, it's important to have a conversation together in doing this. And this goes back to kind of a whole other domain area of what they call human-centered design, where you're really trying to bring in all the personas, all the different actors in a process to have that dialogue that you refer to.
And in feeding the algorithms and in feeding the RPA, I guess more on the algorithm side, are you using production data as it is produced, or do you have to put it in a warehouse? I mean, what's the data architecture required to be able to operate these programs effectively?
Yeah, so, you know, in terms of what we've done so far, you know, there needs to be caution about using production data because of privacy information, but it is helpful to use live data or information that we process versus making up data sets, because you really need to understand what the real world is going to look like. And again, as I said earlier, in some of the areas where we did machine learning or what they call natural language processing, it's helpful to have done, to do this work on areas where you already have the answer to the question, because that's easier to train the program if it knows what the response needs to be. And then you can say whether it matched or didn't match.
It's kind of like mixing paint.
Yeah, absolutely.
Adam Goldberg, Acting Assistant Commissioner of the Treasury's Bureau of the Fiscal Service. To hear this interview again or share it with colleagues, please visit federalnewsnetwork.com and search Insights. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights for June, sponsored by Iron Bow Technologies in partnership with Dell Technologies on Federal News Network.
Our new way of working with a cloud-first approach has unleashed the need for new technologies that can speed up processes, automate manual workflows, and share data across organizations. How can you empower your team with data, drive efficiencies, and increase performance? Iron Bow Technologies, along with Dell, will help you discover how AI technologies support agency mission success. Discover more at learn.ironbow.com/AI. That's learn.ironbow.com/AI.